So, little word of encouragement today, a little message from me. Most days I get up before my wife. And that's because most days I'm up around 4:50 or 5 o'clock. Most sane people are not up that early. But I'm looking at a couple people who are insane as me. In an effort, you too? Oh, wow. Lord bless you. In an effort not to wake Abby up, when I get up, I don't turn on any lights. Okay? I swing my feet out of bed, I find my slippers in the dark, and I walk the straight line that I've cleared out the day before from the bed to the bathroom. And once I get into the bathroom, once I close the door, then I close my eyes and I flip the light, right? Really bright. That's like hospital bright in my bathroom. All right, so it takes a bit to adjust. And we talked last week about how hard it is to go from dark to light. It takes a little bit to adjust, and then my eyes adjust, and I get ready for the day. And before leaving, I've got two options. I can either jump out the window so that I don't turn a light on in the bedroom, but that really wouldn't work because it's still dark outside, and it's a two-story building, so again, it wouldn't work. Or I flip the light back off so that there's no bright light to wake up Abby when I open the door. So that's what I choose most times. Okay, flip the light off, and it takes my eyes a little bit to adjust. You know, for me, it's just as much of an adjustment going from dark to light as it is from light to dark. I've been thinking about that and then thinking, that really is what our Christian lives look like. There are times of brightness, there's times of joy, but there's also times of darkness and trial. And we need to learn how to adjust from dark to light and from light to dark. This morning, we're continuing our Advent sermon series titled In Light and Darkness. And this being the Sunday before Christmas, we are going to return to the dark. Now, some of you are thinking, oh, Pastor, I thought we were going to talk more about the light. So did I. But I guess that's not how this series shaped up to be. So today we go back to the dark. Before I jump in, let me pray. Heavenly Father, anytime we open your word, you have the ability to speak to us. Frankly, you have the ability to speak to us anytime. So I pray that you would help us listen this morning. We look forward to what you're going to say to us and to what you're going to say through us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we return to the story that we started last week, the story of the shepherds and the angels in the field. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, verse 15. If you remember, this was a story where I talked about a quick change from dark to light and how challenging it was on the shepherds' eyes and how hard it was on probably their lives and their souls. As you're turning to Luke chapter 2, verse 15, let me read the front half of the story that we read last week just to get us in the right frame of mind. Story says in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Okay, that was the text for last week, and you know what's going on, right? Shepherds out in the dark, it's really dark, no lights. Suddenly, they're minding their own business, watching their sheep, but suddenly an angel shows up and there's bright lights everywhere. The lights are all-encompassing, all-enclosing. A message is given to the shepherds, and an army of angels shows up. They sing, and then we get to today's text. When the lights that were so bright suddenly get flipped back off. Verse 15 starts like this. You can follow along. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds, you guys know what they did? You guys remember? The shepherds rubbed their eyes, right? Trying to get readjusted back to the dark. Shepherds looked around and asked each other, what happened? That was crazy. Of course, there was a few of the shepherds that probably just were like looking around like, am I the only one that saw that? You guys too? That's what happened, right? Maybe. I mean, we don't know. The text tells us this. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child, and all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. They were readjusting to the dark. Now, I don't know about you guys, but anytime I read the story, I picture like an afterglow when the angels leave. You know, like the filament in those old light bulbs that just kind of slowly fades out. That's what I picture. But there's nothing in the text that tells us that's what happened. In fact, it's pretty safe to assume that the lights just went black again, just like that. As I thought about that, I thought, that's a lot like our Christian lives. There are times, and maybe this is just me, if it is, just ignore the rest of what I say, but there are times I don't feel like the light of Christ is surrounding me. There are times when there's days or weeks, I've even had years, where it seems like I'm trying to follow Jesus in the dark. There's other times, like, you know, the bright bathroom lights, where he is right there. I mean, he's always right there, but where I can feel him, where I can see him, where I can sense him, where I know what he's encouraging me to pray and who to talk to and things like that. But there's plenty of other times where it seems like my eyes are just constantly readjusting to the dark, trying to figure out, okay, Jesus, where are you in this moment? Now, if you've ever experienced this, or maybe if you haven't, you will at one point, the question gets to be asked, what do we do? I mean, today, like, you know, it's December 20th. It's pretty easy to see Jesus. We drive around town, we see nativity scenes, and he's in the manger. We get Christmas cards that we're sending each other and sending to other people, and Jesus is on the cover of them. You know, if you're watching any sort of Hallmark movies, Jesus' name may not be mentioned, but he's in those movies, okay? So he's there. But what happens on January 1, January 2, when we return to the darkness that we've been living in? What happens when we go back to work and we still have to sit next to that annoying, inappropriate coworker? What happens when we get up in the morning and realize, oh my goodness, the in-laws have gone back home and I'm by myself and I have to watch the kids again and I don't have mom's group and dad's group and oh, how in the world am I going to do this? What happens when we wake up the day after Christmas and realize, ah, oh, shoot, COVID's still here? We have to go back to the dark. What do we do when we do that? How do we do this when our eyes are readjusting to the dark? I say we do what the shepherds did. And I'm going to use a little alliteration today. Somebody say alliteration. That's a good word. I had to look up what it meant just to make sure I was saying the right word. It's using like words that start with the same letter, in case you didn't know that. I learned that on Wednesday. There we go. There we go. I'm going to use a little alliteration today to teach us how to readjust to the dark, to show us what the shepherds did, okay? Here's what they did. They searched, they shared, they stayed. Search, share, and stay. All right, as soon as the lights went back out, as soon as it was dark again, as soon as the army of angels retreated back to heaven, the shepherds started to search. They started to search for this Jesus that they had been told about. They were rubbing their eyes, still taking those first steps forward, saying, we got to find this guy, this baby. Verse 15 and 16, it says, when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. Did you catch the immediacy of what they were doing? In the New American Standard Version, it says that the shepherds said, let's go straight to Bethlehem. Straight there. Let's not stop for water. Let's not stop to visit our friends in the suburbs of Bethlehem. Let's not take the business route along the outside to avoid traffic. Let's go straight to Bethlehem. And verse 16 says they hurried. There was a sense of urgency there. Now, it may have been dark, and their eyes may have been readjusting, but they wanted to find this Messiah in the manger that they had been told about. Now listen, even if you've been following Jesus for years and years and years, I want to say we still need to search for him. We still need to regularly search for Jesus. And that's because the Jesus you find one day might not be the same Jesus you find the next. And don't get all worked up thinking I'm saying that there's multiple different Jesuses. It's the same Jesus, but he's got different characteristics, different character traits that we will experience in different times in our lives. There's going to be some times where this Jesus you encounter encourages you. Sometimes where he gives you peace. There's going to be days you're going to be outlandishly grateful for the salvation that he's offered. But then there's going to be other days where you get hit in the face, where the reality of life knocks you down. And the Jesus you find then will be ones that, you know, comforts you in the loss and the pain. It'll be one that provides for you when you have no idea where your next paycheck is going to be coming from. It'll be a Jesus that says, hey, my child, we're not going to tell you what's going to happen next, but climb on up here in this lap and let me just hold you for a while. This Jesus has all these different character traits, and we discover different aspects of him as we're going through different parts. So we must keep searching for Jesus. Even when it gets dark, even when we're struggling to readjust to the light, we must keep searching. And we don't just search because that's what the shepherds did, all right? We search because 33 years later, the grown-up Jesus, who was walking the dusty roads of Galilee with his disciples, he told us to keep searching. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, it says this. This is Jesus speaking. Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. I think we got verse 8. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. So Jesus is saying seek. He's saying search. You will find. Are you in the middle of dark times? Does Jesus seem nowhere? Are your eyes trying to readjust? It's easy to give up. It's easy to not search. Trust me, there's days I get up and I don't want to search. But through Jesus' own words, we're told to keep seeking, to keep searching, and we'll find him. So search, that's the first S in what we do as our eyes are readjusting to the dark. The second is share. Share. When things got dark, as you search for Jesus, as the shepherds were searching for Jesus, when things get dark, share what you're finding. Share what you're experiencing. Share what you're witnessing, even if it's nothing. Go to somebody and say, I'm really having trouble. I'm not sensing. I'm not feeling. I'm not experiencing anything. Share. The shepherds shared. Verse 17 and 18 of Luke 2 says this. After seeing him, Jesus, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept these things in her heart and thought about them often. It'd be easy to share if you were in the shepherd's shoes, right? Because they just experienced this great, phenomenal occurrence with angels and lights. And then they went and searched for the Messiah in the manger, and they found him. And it was just like they told. So it would be easy to see why they're knocking on doors. Hey, you never know what just happened. Let me tell you what happened. And they were super excited. Days is not as easy for us to share. So why share? I can't just say because the shepherds told us to. Well, share because Jesus told us to. Again, you fast forward in the story 33 years, and one of the last things Jesus said to his disciples in the Gospel of Mark was this. He said, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. The shepherds were already obeying Jesus' command 33 years before he gave it. Now, did the shepherds go and prepare a 3-point alliteration-based sermon before they started sharing? You shake your heads no. Did they spend 25 hours studying Aramaic so that they could exegete, expound, pontificate on what Jesus' birth meant to the lowly citizens of Bethlehem? No. Did they wait till they finished their theology degree at Whitworth before they started sharing? No. They just immediately started knocking on doors, telling anybody that would listen to them, look at what happened. Let me tell you what was said to me and how I've experienced this. There's going to be days when our eyes are trying to readjust to the dark. And there's going to be days where we're searching for Jesus and it doesn't seem like we're finding him. And other days where we do find him. But we've got to share this journey with others. Now catch this. Share it with close friends who are believers. Okay? Share it with close friends that are not believers. And if you don't have any of those, go make some. Go make some. Not everyone that you share with is going to be as excited as you are. You know, some people are going to brush off what you say. I've got friends that do that. That's fine. But there will be some people that are excited. The shepherds experienced that. Verse 18, all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. So they had people that were real excited for him. But then there's going to be other people who you just don't know how they're receiving what you're sharing. They just kind of sit there. Mary did that. Mary did that. Verse 19, but Mary kept these things in her heart and thought about them often. Mary just pondered. No high fives. No, just wait what the angel, you know, the angel told me what's coming. It gets even better than this. There was none of that. Mary just pondered. She thought deeply. She kept to herself. She exhibited classic introvert tendencies. And that's fine. That's good, right? So don't worry about how people are going to respond to how you share. But I will give you this advice from my boss, Reverend Superintendent, Reverend Dr. Superintendent Michael Traylor. He says, hey, we got to be sharing our faith. But when you do, don't be weird. If I learned nothing else from him, Super Dr. Michael, if you're listening, I learned that. Don't be weird. Okay? Just share what Jesus is doing in your life and share it in a natural way. All right? Share. So the first thing we're supposed to do is, anybody remember? Search. Second thing is share. Very good. Third thing we're supposed to do is stay. And that might be kind of like, wait, what? Stay. The shepherds stayed. Luke 20 says, the shepherds went back to the flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. And it was just as the angel had done. Now, you may be wanting to push back a little bit. Wait, James, the angels came and talked and the shepherds left. Yeah, they left. They went and they found Jesus. And then they came back and they stayed. Now, most of us focus on the last half of that verse, verse 20, because we like watching what the shepherds did. You know, it says they glorified and praised God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had said. So most of us picture the angels or the shepherds singing and smiling and hands waving and eyes lifted up and being really happy. Most people, myself included, forget the fact that the shepherds not just returned to their flocks, but they returned to the fields. And were the fields light or dark? They were dark. They returned to the darkness that they started in, and they stayed there. They could have gone back to the fields and said, oh, we've got to change everything. We got to re-memorize the Pentateuch. We need to go knock on the priest's door and make sure we sleep on his front doorstep until he invites us into the school of ministry that he has. And we need to make sure we're only ever hanging out with other temple dwellers. And we just need to change what we're doing. They could have said that, but to our knowledge, they didn't. They kept on shepherding. They kept staying in the dark. I think that's important for us to hear. I think it's important for two different reasons. First is this. When people start following Jesus, studies show that within 2 years, they have no Christian friends. Zero Christian friends within 2 years. That is wrong. How in the world are our friends supposed to know the love of Jesus, the light of Jesus, if all we're ever doing is hanging out with other people who already know the love and light of Jesus? The darkest places in the world need us to go there to bring the light of Christ. So that's the first reason we need to stay. The second is this. I think that far too often when we're in dark places, we spend all of our time rushing out, trying to claw our way out of the darkness that we're in, when in reality we need to be paying attention to what Jesus is doing in and through us in the dark. During seminary, I spent 3 out of my 5 years in what some would call the dark night of the soul. For 3 years, it felt like I was praying to a brick wall. I didn't experience Christ's presence. I couldn't hear him. I didn't feel him anywhere. And I spent hours talking to my spiritual director about that. And I kept telling him, when is this going to be done? I want to be out of this. And he kept coming back to, why? Be searching for what God's doing in and through you right now. Stay in the dark. We must stay. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to wallow. Doesn't mean we're going to give up. It doesn't mean that the shepherds went and found Jesus and returned and acted as if they never had that experience. No, they did. They did. But see, they had the light, and then it flipped off to the dark. Their eyes adjusted. They found Jesus. They came back to the dark, and they lived with a wonder and a hope from that day forward. A hope and a wonder that they found when they found Jesus, they didn't lose when they returned to the fields to stay. I'm going to be a bit of a bah humbug now. In about a week and a half, the holidays are going to be over. I know. We're going to return to work. We're going to return to school. We're going to return to the uncertainty of what 2021 is going to look like. We're going to return to some of the darkness that this holiday season has been a respite from. Our eyes will have to readjust to the darkness. So what do? Well, we search, we share, and we stay. We search, we share, and we stay. And you know what? That's kind of fun. It's kind of cute. Maybe you'll remember that by the end of the day. Maybe. Maybe you'll even remember it for the next couple of days. But how does this play out in real life? I want to give you an example. In fact, I want to share an opportunity that you've been hearing about for several weeks now. It's called the catechumenate, the basics. That's a big word, catechumenate. So if you just want to call it the basics, that's fine. But starting on January 10th, we're going to be encouraging people to get into small groups, like groups of four, or maybe six at the most. And we're going to take them on a journey of faith and relationships. That's going to last a while. It's going to be a two-year process. Don't get scared by that. But during this time, you're going to be searching for Jesus. And yes, the majority of us that are doing this will already be Christians. But like I said earlier, the Jesus that we will experience, we're going to experience him differently depending on what different things we're going through. So we're going to spend time searching together in these smaller groups. Now, we're not just going to search for what we believe, but why we believe. It's all part of the search. Now, the next thing we'll do in those groups is we're going to share. In those groups of four to six, we're going to share what we're learning, what we're experiencing, what we're going through. It's a risk to share your life and faith journey. It's a risk to be able to hear some of the dark sides of other people's lives, and yet we're going to ask you guys to do that, to share in deep ways. And then we're going to ask you to stay in those relationships. Like I said, this is a two-year process, and there may be times where you get sick of the people you're in the group with, and you want to jump. You want to climb out the window and say, hey, Pastor, can I get in another group? No. No, we're going to ask you to stay. Why? Because in the challenge of those groups, that is when true growth is going to happen. When you stay, that is when life transformation will occur. Now, this is the first you're hearing it. It's about the catechumenate. It's because you don't look at any of the First Church's Facebook or socials, and it's because you're not on any of our email lists. And if that's the case, take a moment, open your email browser, and shoot an email to the church, office@spokanefirst.church, and say, one, I want on all the midweek emails, and two, I want to learn more about this catechumenate thing, or I want to be part of this. I fully believe this is going to be something that shapes and transforms who we are as individuals and who we are as a church. So again, shoot that email. I know that January 10th is right around the corner. We're going to have a chance to answer some questions, and that is a real way that we can search, share, and stay. And I told you at the beginning of the message that I get up in the dark, and I walk to the bathroom in the dark on a path that I cleared out the night before. All right, this catechumenate is a way that we can be kind of clearing the path with and for each other so that when we go through times of dark and our eyes are readjusting to the dark, we'll get to know where we're going together. Search, share, stay. Let's pray, and then we'll sing a few more Christmas songs. Jesus, I thank you for the examples that the shepherds give us. I thank you that they responded the way they did. And I don't know how much of a choice they had. I mean, if a whole army of angels showed up to any one of us, I'm pretty sure we would do exactly what they said was going to happen, that we would go and we would search. I think today, Lord, you're telling us the same thing you told them through an army of angels. You're saying, hey, guys, search for Jesus. The Jesus you find this year at the end of 2020 may look a little bit different than you've experienced before. I think you're telling us we need to share what we're going through with our family members, with our friends, with those that know Jesus, with those that don't know Jesus, but not in a way that we're weird. And Lord, I think you're telling us to stay where we are. Some of us may have been getting an itch to make some serious changes, but Lord, I wonder if you're telling us just to stay and watch what you're going to do. We trust that you are the one moving, that you are the one working, that you are the one talking, and as we enter into this week of Christmas, we want to be very attentive to your voice. So help us do that, Lord, this week as we search for Jesus, as we share what we're experiencing, and as we're staying in your presence. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.